Are you out of your mind?
Blog Talk Radio.
I think you just proved his fucking point.
And he goes, you know what the problem is?
What?
Paul's cranky because he can't call me a drunk or a drug addict anymore.
Really?
He can't say I'm unemployable.
Well, sure he can. He can just call you. He can call you that. It doesn't mean it's true. He called you an anti-Semite, but that apparently is true.
So that was great. I just love his answer. Like, I can't be anti-Semitic. My accountant, my attorney, they're all Jewish. And Peter Chris's response is, I'm not anti-Semitic. One of my favorite aunts is Jewish.
I cannot be Jewish. I always eat halava. I buy those little halavas.
I go get the best babka around. How can I be an anti-Semite if I love babka?
I own a money clip.
How can I be anti-Semitic? I have a big nose.
My favorite show is Seinfeld. Come on. Paul, please. Yeah, exactly. But you made the point, you know, Paul Stanley is just a humongous fucking shitbag of a human being. So if you don't like him, doesn't mean you necessarily don't like all Jews.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, I hate Paul Stanley. I don't understand how women found him attractive, how he got laid so much.
Campion 95 just said, I can't be an anti-Semite. Douglas Levison walked me on stage.
Also, I like that there's someone in the chat now called Rob's a Flaming FOMO.
If you missed it earlier, FOMO is fear of missing out. And not something else derogatory towards people.
So we're going to have Phil from Whitechapel on any minute now.
Okay.
I think he might be on hold.
And by the way, Rob's a Flaming FOMO said, Ace Freely said, I love those hook-nosed bastards.
And a quick reminder, if you want to ask, we're going to have Phil from Whitechapel on in a moment. If you want to ask Phil a question, the number to dial 646-929-1357. Phil is not on the line yet. Actually, maybe we should just call him.
I can't be an anti-Semite. I have a lampshade made of Jewish skin from the Holocaust.
I can't be an anti-Semite. I'm circumcised. That's what it is.
I have a wallet made of foreskin. When you rub it, it turns into a briefcase. Oh, boy.
So that was the Hall of Fame. All the other Hall of Fame inductees are pretty boring.
Who else was
Linda
it?
Linda Ronstadt.
Fuck her.
Cat Stevens.
Fuck him.
Yeah, that's it.
He really fuck him because he's like a radical
Islamist.
Yes,
whatever.
Yusuf Salam?
Yeah.
Something like that.
And then Peter Gabriel, I believe, also got
him. I like him.
Also,
he's an anti-Semite.
the manager of the Beatles and the manager of the Rolling Stones
gives a shit.
Inducted, yeah.
Uh-huh. The manager. Like, who the fuck cares about the manager?
Yeah.
The guy that carried the... Douglas Levison is going to the Hall of Fame because he walked all of them on stage. The manager.
All right, let's get Phil on the line. I'm going to call him right now. And again... If you want to talk to Phil Bosman, the vocalist of Whitechapel.
Or Bosman.
You can do so by dialing 646.
Call them both.
929-1357. Let's see if this works.
See a joke? Bosman.
Yeah, that could be our first sketch.
It's cool with Paul Stanley. I mean, Ace Frehley.
Hey, hello?
Hey, Phil. Is that you?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, it's Rob with the Metal Injection Livecast. I also have Darren and Noah on the line here.
Hello there.
Aloha.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Thanks for taking some time to hang out with us on the show here. And we're going to ask you a few questions, and we're going to be taking some questions from fans. Again, if you want to call in and ask Phil a question, the number to dial is 646-929-1357. Phil, first question, is it Bosman or Bozeman? That's what we've been going back and forth on here. I say it's Bosman.
There's a bet that's been wagered.
Oh, okay. So I'm about to ruin someone's day, I guess. It's Bosman.
Oh, I was wrong.
I was right.
And now since you have that man, the men suffix, are you of the Jewish tribe or are you not? Like, that's something we want to know. We've also been raped.
I don't really know. I don't think I am.
that sounds like a yes.
We say the same
hey,
thing.
Let's just go ahead and say yeah, just to keep it interesting.
Right on. All right, cool. Well, you have a new album. Your band Whitechapel, of course, has a new album called Our Endless War. Comes out April 29th on Metal Blade Records, mm-hmm. and that's about 2 weeks from now. How are you keeping busy until the album release?
I'm just playing a lot of video games, I guess, and just enjoying time off, watching TV, hanging out with friends, doing stuff like that, you know, just trying to, you know, get prepared and, you know, doing all that kind of stuff, you know, just home stuff, I guess you could call it.
Yeah, you have a big tour coming up with Devil Driver, Carnifex, Revocation, Rivers of Nile, Fit for an Autopsy. A lot of brutality on that tour, and you're going to be at the tail end of the lineup. And you know, when you're you know, late in the sets, you got to feel like the rest of the fans are a little fatigued before you come up. How do you get them amped for your band when four other bands just came out and crushed it?
Yeah, that's really tough. I mean, you know, because the kids have been there for probably 3+ hours already.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, obviously they're drained with, you know, sweating and hitting each other and all that stuff. So, I mean, you know, you just gotta really, like, use your voice, the power of your voice to really just amp them back up, you know, just, like, you know, make them feel involved with the show, you know, and especially if the people are there to, you know, we have, like, our select few fans that come to see us, and then you've got hopefully a sea of people that have never heard of us or, you know, Devil Driver fans or Carnifex fans or any of the fans of the other bands. You know, you try to get them interested and, you know, try to impress the crowd. And, you know, ultimately they're all there to see music. So, you know, I mean, whether they're tired or not, they're still going to listen. You know, even if they're tired, you know, I mean, at least we can, you know, let them listen to the music and, you know, try to at least appreciate it for what it is.
I hear you. And I'm sure when you play some of these shows, there's always some local bands opening it. And I wanted to ask you, like, what's like a mistake that you see local bands doing? Like, because you've been touring now, you've been playing shows for a while. What's something you notice in, like, an opening band where you wish, like, oh, I wish they just could fix this about them? Like, a common mistake that you think, like, unsigned bands make. Do you have anything like that?
Well, I guess personally with the vocalists, you know, there's things that musicians do too that I notice, especially if they don't have noise gates on their guitars. You know, there's just feedback and they're tuning to each other's guitars and, you know, stuff like that. That's just that's just a big no-no. But if you're wanting to put on, you know, a professional looking performance, but you know, one thing that I see vocalists do is that they just pace back and forth, especially when they're talking in between songs, and they're not looking at the crowd, they're looking down, you know, they sound unsure in their voice, and, you know, and that's not necessarily, I mean, it's not necessarily a mistake, it's just something that they have to grow to become more comfortable with, I guess you could say, because, you know, I used to, you know, be bashful and shy and all that stuff, but, you know, I mean, with experience and, you know, with doing it for, you know, quite a few years now, I've become, you know, just, I guess, used to it. I don't know. I mean, it's become natural to me. But, you know, I mean, as far as mistakes, I mean, I guess, you know, the only thing that I've really seen, I guess, maybe just, you know, not being able to pull off stuff live, you know, I guess. I mean, because the studio is definitely a place where you can make magic happen, and you have to be able to do that on stage. And but, you know, for the most part, I don't even know their songs. So I don't know if they're playing it right. But I would say just mainly... Yeah, I mean, exactly what I said. Guitar players need to have the equipment to, if they're wanting to be professional, they need to have the equipment that's going to, you know, make the show more enjoyable, you know, not tuning to each other. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with having fun on stage either. It just depends on what kind of vibe you're trying to give out. You know, like if you're just a punk rock band that's just throw and go, you know, I mean, that's just how that stuff works. But, you know, we just like to have that dark, ominous feel, you know, like put on a good show for the crowd and, you know, yeah, like have that kind of mentality going into it.
And do you still get butterflies before showtime? Like when that intro starts playing, what's going through your head? How do you psych yourself up?
I would say definitely in the beginning of a tour, if we haven't been touring for a while, you know, it's almost like it's like I've never done it before, but I have at the same time. So when we first started touring, I haven't done it in a while, I'm kind of just like, oh no, you know, here we go again. It's been like 3 months since I've been up here. But you know, about a week or so into the tour, you know, I'm already, or actually, you know, even like the first couple of days, you know, you get the jitters out, you get the shakes out, you know, it's just really about like, I don't know, just keeping it in your head, like, this is what I do. This is what I've been doing for the past 7-8 years now. Like, you know, I know how to do this. There's no reason to be, you know, nervous or anything like that. We've played with, you know, really big bands like Slayer and, you know, Slipknot and stuff like that. And, you know, I mean, once you get to the point where you can play bands like that, you know, you're obviously doing something right. So you just got to keep that confidence inside yourself.
Right on. Let's take some fan questions. Again, you can call in and ask Phil a question, 646-929-1357. Austin in Virginia. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. What's up, guys?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up, buddy? I'm really digging the fast vocals on the Saw as a Law. Can I expect any more of that on a lot of the other songs? I know you said you were mainly trying to focus on getting a lot of fast vocals in there. I read something about that.
Yeah. There's going to be a few other songs that, you know, have some fast stuff. You know, I don't want to, you know, litter the whole album with it, but yeah, there's definitely going to be some other parts that have, you know, the fast kind of vocals in it for sure.
Yeah, I definitely like that shit. That shit's awesome. Is there going to be any songs similar to, like, some of the shit from the original album, the Somatic Defilement, anything similar to that shit, a lot of growls, any brutal shit?
Yeah, there is one of the songs that you will notice has kind of that influence behind it. You'll be able to tell what it is once you hear it.
All right, thank you for your question, Austin. We got Paul on the line. Paul, you're there.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi, my question for Phil is, what are your favorite video games lately?
Well, I'm a pretty big Call of Duty guy. I just like the flow of the game, you know, just the competitiveness. But I usually play a lot of Diablo 2. I don't anymore. I was pretty into Diablo 3, and I started with Diablo 2 back in, you know, way back in the day. And yeah, I mean, I like a lot of RPGs and stuff like that too.
Cool.
All right, thank you for your question, Paul.
Thank you.
Get him off.
So polite.
So this tour you have coming up right now with Devil Driver, that's like an early summer tour. I think it kicks off late May or something like that, right? Do you have any other summer tour plans? Are you guys going to Europe or what's going on in the late summer for you guys?
Well, we don't have anything that's going to be that hasn't been set in stone or anything. But right now what we're doing is just this I think next week we actually start our run up to New England Metal Fest. And we'll be playing the day that Behemoth is headlining, so I can't really wait for that. after that, and this will be the first time I see them in a club setting where they can have a light show and everything. So I'm really excited to see that dark kind of vibe that they give off and just that, you know, that great light show that they're known for. And then after that, we're off for a little bit. Actually, I think we go to Mexico for a couple of days, for a weekend, when we get back. And then we'll have about 2.5-3 weeks off, and then we do the Devil Driver tour. And then after that, it's kind of up in the air. We don't really have anything that we are announcing yet or really anything that we have scheduled.
Gotcha, cool. And, yeah, that's like seeing Behemoth live, I got to say. I saw them, I believe, last year on their big comeback tour. It was so, like, the aura that they give off live. I've never seen any other band really pull that off. It's so intense.
And it's great that, you know, Nurgle, you know, has battled through his illness.
Yeah, and I feel he's stronger than ever, even, because of it.
Yeah,
a new thing to hate.
Yeah, it's really cool that, you know, he's overcoming that and still you know, going on with the band, and, you know, it's good to see that he hasn't been doesn't seem like he's suffering from it. So
Now, Whitechapel's a bit of an extreme band, but what I want to know is, do girls come out to Whitechapel shows? Do you see any ladies in the crowd?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we notice a few here and there. I mean, it's I guess, you know, our music is kind of I don't know. It's kind of like just like a more of like a guy kind of thing, you know, just like the hard, brutal stuff, you know. But yeah, I mean, there are, you know, here and there, there's girls that come out to the shows, especially like Mayhem's. You know, it's kind of like that outside kind of vibe and party vibe, and you know, the girls like the outside kind of party stuff, and you know, just the big crowds and everything. So you'll see them mostly at places like that.
So something like Mayhem, you know, you're the front man, you're the visual representative of the band. Do girls approach you and they try to work out a deal? You know what I'm talking about? Try to work out some sort of deal?
Well, no, that doesn't really happen with me because, I don't know, I don't really try to venture out too far into that because, you know, I mean, I have a girlfriend, so I don't really like to, you know, I'm not that kind of guy. But, you know, I mean, like, of course, if we're signing stuff at, you know, a signing booth or something, you know, I'll definitely talk to him and, you know, sign stuff for him. But, you know, I mean, as far as that goes, I don't really dabble in any of that.
So who's the guy in the band that everyone sends the ladies to? Like, oh, okay, we got it. You want to hook up with one of us, go to this guy. Who's that guy? Or do you not want to, you know, under the bus? I just want, for any ladies listening, I'm trying to make it easier for them so they don't waste their time with Phil, obviously, as a girlfriend. I'm trying to be informative here.
Well, I won't name names, but I'll just say whoever's single in the band, that's usually what we'll do.
All right. So that's the question.
We'll just, you know.
You see Phil, you see any of the other members of the band, Alex or whoever, you go, hey, who's single in the band? All right, I'm going to talk to them.
Yeah. That's...
All right. Well, we have some. We have an international caller, Josh, all the way in Wales, which is not in Australia. I've learned. Josh, are you there?
I am here. Hey guys.
Hello. Hey, how you doing?
First of all, I want to say happy Passover to my favorite Jews.
Wait, is that, are we the favorite Jews?
I believe it starts on Tuesday.
Tomorrow night, I think.
Monday.
It's Monday in Australia.
Oh, yeah,
so
right.
Some
okay.
Jews you are. You didn't mean Paul Stanley, right?
No. So what's
what
your
a terrible Jew. My first question is, how have the fans reacted to your material, and how do you feel about that?
Did you say the new material?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they reacted positively, it seems. You know, I mean, there's going to be you know, a select few people, or you know, the other people that don't really like it, but you know, I mean, the other those two songs I really feel like are kind of like those two songs that are... Is he still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Rob just...
Oh, okay.
Fine.
Oh, there's going to be those few songs on the album, you know, that are going to be a little bit more, you know, I guess they're going to be kind of unfamiliar to a lot of people that have been listening to us for a while, but there's a lot of stuff on there that really is kind of like that old kind of style that we have been writing since the first album. But, you know, I mean, I, you know, if people don't enjoy it, you know, I just invite them to listen to the whole album and then make their assumption there.
I have one more question. What's one of your favorite heaviest bands to listen to?
Favorite heaviest bands? Well, if I'm going for heavy, I would definitely say hands down Meshuggah. That's the heaviest band I've ever heard on album and live. Live, they're the most crushing band I've ever heard.
Do you, like, when you're not obviously doing Whitechapel, do you listen to metal, or do you find yourself not listening to metal because you're just so immersed in it you need a break?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really, I don't listen to it nearly as much as I used to. I would say if I ever do, it is someone like, you know, Meshuggah or, you know, even kind of like, I don't really consider him, I guess, metal, but, you know, I listen to like Deftones and things like that. I really like Catatonia. That's one band that I really like listening to, even though they're not metal, but... Yeah, that's the kind of music that I kind of I listen to. I listen to some hip hop too. Like, I'm a really big fan of like 3-6 Mafia and stuff like that.
What about Future Islands?
Have you heard of Future Islands? They're the hot
Rob's
new thing.
New favorite band.
Got to check them out on Letterman this summer. I mean, they're not at all a metal band. They're an indie band, but the singer growls as if he is in Whitechapel.
Don't check them out.
Yeah, don't do it.
Check out the Letterman. Definitely.
Trust me. He Rob's alone on an island.
I'm definitely not alone. They're doing very well on the charts. You leave Future Islands alone. All right, Phil. Well, thanks so much for taking some time and hanging out with us. I really appreciate it. And, of course, the new album. I had it right here. Our Endless War, April 20th.
We have one final question that we like to ask our guests.
Oh, that's right.
Corn or flour cookies?
Corn or flour cookies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which do you prefer?
I would have to go with flour because I don't think I've really ate corn cookies.
Ah, all right. Well, that's the way to that seems to be the correct answer. Yeah. All right, Phil, we're going to let you go. The new Whitechapel album, Our Endless War, comes out on April 29th. We're going to play a track right now. We're going to play The Saw Is the Law. Is that all right with you?
Yeah, go for it, man.
All right, now you can't sue us. All right, thanks a lot, Phil. Have a good rest of your weekend.
All right, you too, man.
All right, see you later. That was Phil from Whitechapel, and here's their track, The Saw Is the Law.
Yeah. This is your announcer, Chuck Blandington, reminding you, when I'm not hanging around in men's bathrooms watching Lars Ulrich watching other people doing cocaine, I'm listening to the Metal Injection Livecast at metalinjection.net/livecast.
Just gonna stand there and watch me burn.
Isn't that orange chic?
That's alright, because I like the way it hurts.
You fucking suck.
Just gonna stand there and hear me cry.
Fuck!
That's alright, because I love the way you lie.
Bullshit!
Love the way you lie.
Do you remember fighting the guy, the Killer Bee, WrestleMania 3? His name was Brian Blair, no, you can't explain it, but he makes you so enraged, go insane, being double, wanna fuck him in his ass and make him humble. You always talk about him, how he's such a nasty faggot, fantasizing how you wanna take him down, cause you're such a crazy Arab, wanna punch, enziguri pile driver, camel clutch him, throw him down, pin him, then take off his trunks and start to fuck him in the ass. He deserves it cause he stole your coat, that your phony didn't even give you half, didn't leave you nothing but a gram, that was bullshit. Man, he must be joking, now he has a job just because he's blowing Hulk Hogan. But you promised Vince that you wouldn't make him pay. See him at the indie shows, but he always runs away, and it makes you sad. Now you're sitting there crying like a lady, guess that's why they call you Sheiky Baby.
Just gonna stay.
Out of your fucking piece of shit. Out of your mouthless motherfucker. You are a cocksucker motherfucker. I'm not a little fag, worse than Michael Jackson. Bullshit!
I love the way you lie.
Fucking bullshit!
Now, Hulk, I know we said things, did things that we didn't mean. And I said that your daughter was a tranny. Drag queen, rubbed her down with lotion and you fucked her. She was just 15, looks like you in makeup and a dress. Okay, that's mean, my bad. I was high on mescaline and speed. Maybe I should not have slapped you with my cock and MSG. Maybe that's what happens when a Californian meets an Iranian. All I know is when I suplex you, it feels amazing. Come on, Hulk, don't wanna fight, brother, let's stop. Why you wanna beat me in the face and do a leg drop? Choke me till my breath stops. Wind up in a cell block. Listen to me rambling, I'm as coked up as Xbox. Next time, I will make your son cry. I apologize even to your ugly wife. Okay, I can't do this. I am not sorry, Hogan. You're a punk. If you ever try to fuck with me again,
I can break his fucking back. Break his back, make him humble, and then fuck his ass.
Just gonna
no food, no life. Are you no good motherfucker? Are you the fucking bullshit? Bullshit! Fucking bullshit!
I love the way you lie.
Fucking bullshit! You fucking suck. I'm not going to talk anymore. I'm done now.
Hello, son. This is your resident announcer guy, Chuck Blandington, and you're listening to the show that was caught finger-banging your stepmom last week. The Metal Injection Live Cast. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
boss.
Yes, Mr. Watkins, sir.
Say my name. Yes. Say Ian.
Yes, Ian.
Well, I'll put you in the fucking box again.
No, not the box. Yeah, you're listening to the Metal Injection Livecast.
We'll be right fucking back, you three-year-old whore.
We'll be right back. Not my back again.
Let's go.
Now that the music break is over, the live cast demands your full attention. So please, put down the pot brownies and video game controllers. Also put down the Vaseline and broomsticks. Here's the show.
Jeez, what were you doing during the music break?
I don't have a broomstick in here, but I do have a mop. We should get that updated.
You're right.
Maybe she's a vacuum.
Well, no, Bland was talking about the listener, not us.
Oh, I thought he
was. The listener has to pay attention. You have our full attention. Welcome to the Metal Injection live cast. Out to 646-929-1357.
And a lot of stuff happened this past week.
Yeah, so let's go over the music break. Let's go over the songs. We kicked it off with a new Whitechapel track, The Saw is the Law. Sounds like a Sylvester Stallone movie. And then we played our Iron Sheik Rihanna parody. And what's the name of that song?
I don't know. We don't really have an official. I guess I Love the Way You Fuck. Or
that's good.
Love. Bullshit.
Then a little Corrosion of Conformity with Clean My Wounds. We wrapped that. That was a Noah pick. And another Noah pick.
I like that.
Thank Darkane.
Cool.
With Solitary Confinement. I like me a little Darkane. So, yeah, Noah, speaking of the Iron Sheik, you kissed him.
You bitch. I'm so jealous of you.
So,
can I back, before you say, I kind of interrupt you when you start talking, but can we say that we've been trying to get him on this fucking show forever?
Oh, my God.
I have, as a result of meeting the Iron Sheik, I discovered that I have a direct connection to
him. What?
And we are getting
closer.
You're
related
closer.
To the Iron Sheik? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Look who's talking.
Shuli from Howard Stern toured with the Iron Sheik, and he is also a fellow Israeli, so whenever I see him in the hallways, we always start, you know, schmoozing.
You drew it up. I've been there.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
You know, we exchange a few words in Hebrew.
Right.
So I was very excited about my picture.
Yes.
So I was just, you know, skipping along the hallways, and I ran into him, and I said, you will not believe what happened to me this morning.
Wow.
And I showed him my picture with the Iron Sheik, and he's like, oh, I know that guy. And I said,
hey, we grew up in the settlement we met.
Yeah. We threw rocks at each other when we were younger.
Morning. Wow.
And I,
oops.
So, yeah, he might help us.
All right.
He has offered to help us.
We'll see.
Okay, so anyway, so I got into work, and whenever I get into work, I listen to the Obey and Anthony channel while I get ready for my show, and I heard the Iron Sheik was in the studio. So I texted them, and he was wrapping up with the interview, and I told Rob, I was like, oh my God, the Iron Sheik is here, and Rob, you know, urged me to go and meet him and try to get a picture.
I was like, you have to take a photo with him. Like, that's
I really didn't want to because, you know, the Opie and Anthony show is good.
It's a bit of a, like, for your job, it's a faux pas. Like, you're not supposed
like,
to be.
Right, like, I'm not supposed
to be professional.
You have
you're not
to make
supposed
an exception.
Yeah, you're not supposed to be starstruck, but you never do it.
I never do it. And usually if I do it, it's when people come to the show that I work on, so it's much easier.
Right.
So I had to just use my resources and send a text. And, you know, Jim Norton was the guy who, like, hooked it up for me. And so I go into the studio, and the Iron Sheik is in his wheelchair.
Aww.
And he has those two, like, handlers, these, like, very Persian-looking
men. The Mangans. His
what?
Magans, I think. His manager, his agents are, like, two twins. Jose like, Magan is a piece of no. It's M A G E N. Paige McGann.
His Mangans. Did you think they were both a piece of shit?
Well, I've been emailing with Paige. No, it's not
Jose Magan.
No,
is stop
a piece
it.
Of shit.
So is it two different people, Paige?
Yeah, they're twins.
Yeah, they are twins.
Yeah.
Okay. So
Paige and I don't know the other brother.
So I said hello to the Iron Sheik, and I asked for a picture, and he goes, yes, of course.
Did he call you a cheap Jew Russia?
No. Oh, my God, I would have died.
He was super polite, though, right? Like, he was, like a total
he
gentleman.
He was just sitting there.
Noah is the intelligent Jew.
He was just sitting there, and, like, they pretty much, like, thrusted me upon him.
Let's back up. Let's
literally?
Back up. Okay, so you text Jim Norton.
Yes.
Like, I want to meet the Iron Sheik. Jim Norton says, sure, come down, right? Whatever.
Yes.
So then you go down. Where you go into the studio? Is this where you met him, or where did you meet him?
Inside the Opie and Anthony studio.
So you walk in.
I walk through the door.
Yeah. What do you see when you walk in? Where is the Sheik?
Okay. I walk in and I see Anthony walking out.
Okay.
Okay, so then there's a lot of, like, pandemonium. There's a lot of guys standing there. And I see the Iron Sheik to the right of me in his wheelchair. And next to the console are his handlers. So, you know, I said, oh, can I get a picture? And he goes, sure, sure.
Come
and
here, then, Baba. Who says then, sure? Who says sure? Iron Sheik or the
the handlers.
Yeah.
So that, you know, but he said hello to me and everything.
So, okay, so exactly what did he say? Like word for, like,
it wasn't,
did you introduce yourself? Or were you like, hi, I'm Noah?
And I did. I said, hi, I'm Noah. And he just smiled and he just said hello. Like, he didn't say you are the real or anything like that.
Of course.
Come here. Sit on my lap.
Well, it'd be funny if he introduced himself.
And
like
by the way, this was like all like a dream to me.
Yeah.
I hadn't had my coffee. My heart was pounding. I didn't want to make an ass out of myself. I wanted to make sure my picture looked good. So I had to like kneel down kind of. And as I'm bending my knees, the handler puts the title belt on my shoulder. Uh-huh. And I was like, wow, I get to hold this?
Wow. What belt was it?
It's the world heavyweight championship.
The one he had
the NWA
when he was...
title. Yeah. Oh, no, the NWA one. The big gold belt.
So I put my arm around him, and Jim took the photo, and then the handler goes, oh, why don't you give him a kiss? And I said, okay.
Okay, yeah.
So then I kissed him on the cheek, and
Jim
said,
they smell bad?
No, he smelled great. Oh, okay. His skin was smooth. I think I actually kissed his, like,
forehead
or whatever.
Were you turned on at all?
No, I was not turned on.
So he didn't smell like old...
I feel like
Iranians... Yeah. Persian people.
They smell like...
They have like a curryish smell to
no,
them.
No, curry is not an Iranian...
Yeah. Well, like a similar scent.
Cumin.
A similar,
spicy.
Cumin. Yeah, okay, cumin. Yeah, yeah.
They're
yeah.
very spicy.
Cumin is definitely a Persian spice.
He was very aromatic.
And this
but,
I'm saying...
but
I'm
not
saying,
not from like a spice
like
perspective.
Like an incense?
I'm the aromatic... Like I'm the real aromatic motherfucker. I no smell like the curry. I smell like the cumin. If Hulk Hogan is here, I'll cumin his ass. Make him humble.
So I'm looking at the photo now. You're kissing his cheek, and look at the smile on the Iron
Sheik's
face.
I know, he's so
happy. He hasn't gotten
happy.
Any in 40 years.
We're
going to
absolutely post this on the episode page.
Sure.
Because this is such a great photo.
Noah, he looks like... 10 years younger after this kid.
I know.
I think you gave
like
him the sound of you.
It's like you really like you're hugging him. You're like
I'm
really.
Like, yeah, I am putting the moves on him.
And you're. I like also how you're grasping the belt. Like, oh god, this better not fall. This.
Making a fist. How else do you
hold
the belt?
Was it a heavy belt or just what you? Would
I was
expect?
Afraid because my shoulders are so small. I was afraid it was going to, like, roll off my shoulder, and that would be really embarrassing. There was so much writing on this picture that I was
it was big.
So
it was...
nervous.
Come hug me! Kiss me!
Yeah.
So that's great.
And he was just so nice, and I said, thank you very much. Nice to meet you. And he just, like, smiled and, you know, just, like, shook his head.
Did you give him a handy?
Darren.
No, why not? He's such a nice old man. Such a nice old man. Jake wouldn't mind. He's just
also, he's in a wheelchair. Do you think it works?
Yeah, his gut probably is just like completely blocking access to his.
Well, he always says he has a 10-inch cock, so I mean, maybe it's you know, maybe 6 of it is still out because of his fupa.
I see. So you took the photo and then that was it. You got out of there, or was there some more to the story?
Then I said thank you to Jim Norton and then, to Anthony and then I walked away. Like I left and then, oh, and as I left, Jim handed me an autographed Iron Sheik poster.
Oh, wow.
Which
well,
I have,
at, it?
Well, it's at work. I have to find a way to bring it home so I don't bend it.
Okay. That's cool.
Oh yeah. I felt like the toughest shit afterwards.
Really?
You felt like the rare.
I'm the rare.
Like, I could put anyone in a camel clutch if I wanted to.
How can you do that? No, Avior, you are not like the Hulk Hogan piece of shit. You are the serious XM. You have the career.
No, you have a job because you deserve a job. Not like the Jim Brunzel. He have only a job because... He suck the Hulk Hogan dick. He suck the Hulk Hogan back. He's no good motherfucker.
Audio, no good motherfucker.
Yeah.
Fuck the tomorrow. You know, fuck that I'm coming tonight.
I didn't realize that the Iron Sheik was 70 years old. Is he like the oldest living wrestler?
No. Well, he's up there probably. But.
I mean, who? He's like one of the older ones, like the one.
He's 74. Wow. That's, I mean, that shows you how good health he was in, I feel, in his prime.
He didn't take steroids like the Ultimate Warrior.
Well, yeah.
Well, no, did he? We don't know that.
Maybe, but yeah. But I feel
he did
like
every other fucking
I feel
drug.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, how much coke did he probably? Probably the amount of coke he did outweighed the steroids.
That was Curry, not coke.
Oh, Vern Gagne is still alive, so he's 88.
Oh.
Who else?
Well, Mae Young, for the longest time, was the oldest living wrestler, but not anymore. She just died. But yeah, Ultimate Warrior died earlier this week, which was crazy. If you've never followed wrestling, I mean, I feel like you would probably know who Hulk Hogan is, the most famous wrestler of all time. I would say the second most famous wrestler would be the Ultimate Warrior, just
really?
Just on name recognition.
The Rock?
Oh, okay. Of that era, I feel like
okay.
Of that. All of, right. Like, the pre-attitude, like, okay, Steve Austin, The Rock, yeah. But
I would
like
still put Randy Savage ahead of Ultimate Warrior, but he's up there.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Savage, you could argue. Savage and Warrior were definitely 2 and 3 somewhere,
yes,
yeah.
Agreed.
So he was inducted into the Hall of Fame this past Saturday night. And it was a big moment because he was on bad terms with WWE. WWE right. Did a whole DVD about how big of a psychopath he was.
But then he was at it wasn't SummerSlam.
At WrestleMania.
WrestleMania.
Yeah. So then he came back for the Hall of Fame because they made up with him and whatever. Triple H, I guess, apologized because he called him an asshole in that DVD.
I'm not an asshole, Hulk Hogan.
Well, that was basically his Hall of Fame speech, was him going like, that DVD really upset me.
Yeah, some speech, really. Like, that's first of all, no one knew he was going to die, but, I mean, that's the last thing you're known for saying is, like, defending yourself.
Well, what's even crazier is, you know, the next night he comes out of WrestleMania, he waves to the crowd, blah, blah, blah.
He does a stupid-ass thing where he puts a mask on.
Oh, yeah, it was like,
At Raw, he comes out and he does, like, a traditional Ultimate Warrior
promo.
Oh,
you were talking about WrestleMania.
Yeah, WrestleMania, you just said. But he does the Ultimate Warrior promo, and it basically served as his eulogy.
What did he say?
I could cue it up.
Just play it, Robert Pasbody.
Hulk Hogan.
Hulk.
Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan.
I have no remorse for that.
Well, I feel very bad for his daughter.
I feel bad for it. Listen, can I, before you play that, I feel the same feeling I feel when any human being dies. I don't want their family to suffer and all that. But he was a fucking
scumbag. No good piece of shit.
Of all the things, you always hear, you know, dirt and this one, he said, she said, shit in wrestling. This guy was universally fucking despised. And then when he's retired, he was 100 times worse. He used to go on fucking
He did speeches at colleges, like
calling gay people like faggots and queers.
Or just it's like wrong because it's not advancing civilization.
Sure, that too, but then it went worse than that.
But then
he
said like really, yeah. Living a queer lifestyle is a detriment to this country.
Living a queer lifestyle. Penis should not go into asshole.
I could cue that speech up too. Let's get that.
But then he said like New Orleans was right to deserve to be killed by Hurricane
Katrina. Yeah.
I mean, come on, because the people were poor and they did nothing with their lives, and they had a like squalor over there and shit. So it's like their fault, and that they were. Who cares that their city was leveled?
And just when other wrestlers would die, he would mock them.
Right.
Wait, I have a question, actually. Is Ric Flair still alive?
Ric Flair is barely, somehow. His son OD'd last year, but he's still alive.
That's
his body still functions. He's not really... I wouldn't say he's living.
Okay.
All right, so should I play, though, the Raw? Let's do the Raw thing first, and then we'll go to the UConn speech.
There you go!
So he puts on the warrior mask.
Big deal. Fucking 99-cent plasma.
Was that drawn on?
You shut up.
It was, but they're trying to hawk this merchandise on WWE.com.
Oh, so you could purchase the mask.
Of course, yeah.
Do you think they made him purchase it, or they gave him a free?
No, they gave him a free.
Or you could get some fucking grease paint from Ricky's for $4 and fucking...
Right. Warrior, and let me do the talking.
Shut up. Fuck you.
No WWE talent becomes a legend on their own.
Okay.
Every man's heart one day beats its final beat. His lungs breathe their final breath. And if what that man did in his life makes the blood pulse through the body of others and makes them bleed deeper in something than larger than life, then his essence, his spirit will be immortalized. I was a fucking fortunate.
I have a question. Did the merch in the store increase in price now that he's not alive?
Well, that mask is $15 for that piece of plastic.
Ugh.
Just looked it up.
It's like a little fucking...
Yeah, that's like a... It's cardboard. It costs 20 cents maybe to produce.
By the loyalty, by the memory of those who honor him and make the right
he's already blown up.
Did. Live yeah. forever.
I'm sorry, I need a minute to continue.
You are the legend makers of Ultimate Warrior.
Take the buffalo ball by your mouth. I'm sorry, I have no sympathy. Warrior to me is like Dimebag Darrell to Sid.
I see many potential legends, some of them with warrior spirits.
Well, then, whatever. This stuff is there.
My warrior spirit!
And...
Fucking jerk off.
They're sure that he didn't fake his own death. There's a
no, he definitely... yeah. He had a catastrophic heart attack. That's how they're describing it as a catastrophic medical event. Can you imagine? His heart must have blown up. Like, literally exploded.
When I reach into my own chest cavity and remove my own beating heart from the inside of my warrior shell, I will show it to myself to know the true power of the warrior before I die and pass off this mortal plane.
Wow.
Piece of shit.
The saddest thing about the death was Iron Sheik's Instagram about it.
Oh, yeah.
Here, let me cue it up.
He was no good, grasshopper dick.
That's what Iron Sheik would say.
Yeah, he said something.
Traditionally, but... That's not
Ultimate Warrior, I heard something tonight. I get shocked. I cannot even believe it. But I want to let you know, whatever I say, I didn't mean it was a word.
Liar.
I love you. Rest in peace.
Very classy.
Yes.
But come on!
Yeah. It ruins all the things he said about the Ultimate
Warrior. Yeah.
And it wasn't a fucking work.
It wasn't a work.
First
you
of all,
mentioned.
Can I ask you a question? Let's say Hulk Hogan dies tomorrow. What, would he do the same thing? All the he spent 40 years shit-talking Hulk Hogan.
Well, like, I feel like on Howard Stern or something, Hulk Hogan was on. Hulk Hogan!
Hulk Hogan, you went on Howard Stern.
And no, they brought the Sheik on, too, or something, or like the Sheik was on and Hogan was in the building, so they confronted him, and he was like, oh, I'm not really. Like, he's like, oh, it's a work.
What?
Yeah.
Fuck you, Iron Sheik. Fuck you, Iron Sheik. Oh, I hate you.
Let me see if I can find that. But how about we play the Yukon? Let's play some Ultimate Warrior.
I wanted to actually play the Sean Hannity one where he tells Sean Hannity to shut the fuck up on his own show.
You had your chance. Let me speak now, Sean Hannity.
You could play that first.
I think that was when Benoit died. But
I actually agreed with the Warrior on that one.
Yeah.
That was Sean Hannity was saying, oh, you know, the wrestlers. And he was basically shitting on wrestlers for using steroids.
Stop this thing. Maybe not. Can you hear me in the back?
You hear me in the back.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, we can get rid of that guy right now.
Queers are wrong.
Come with the right to life. Just a simple one.
You're born. You have a right to life when you're born. You don't have to do anything for it.
Oh, you know? Who raised you? Who changed your shitty diapers? Who bit you? Who stuck the nip on your mouth?
Hulk Hogan did.
Right to right includes the inherent responsibility
to right.
By somebody. You don't have any responsibilities?
Right to life,
as a
child, penis.
As a baby, what do you have to do to earn your right to life?
You have to beat Hulk Hogan.
I didn't say earn your right to life. If you have your life. No, it doesn't make me turn off.
It doesn't turn on him. I love it.
You have to stay in your life. There's a responsibility.
You have to pay it back later.
No. The question was, is there a right? Are there any rights without a responsibility? Did I say you? I said any right.
You're shaking the rope.
No, the guy is idiotic. There are no rights.
Do not applaud this gentleman.
So if nobody does anything to sustain that life, if they drop responsibility...
He just spoke at a college, and then, like, the college...
Why would a college invite a wrestler to give a speech?
I'll tell you exactly why. The person who was in charge of the treasury was a huge wrestling fan. He's like, oh, we have $10,000 to... And I can invite anyone to speak?
Should have got the Iron Sheik.
Yeah.
So that's how I guess...
Baba, do you know... Nobody has the right to life. Only one person has the right to life. That's Daniel. And they take it away, the right to life, because he killed the Daniel in Atlanta, Georgia. Nobody has right to life until they beat Hulk Hogan in the WrestleMania 6 in the Sky Dome.
Right.
Is this the same one where he starts going off about queers and fags?
No right.
Yeah, it's coming up.
Okay. The question was, do you know of a right
That's
without right. responsibility?
Godzilla.
Is there a right? What are you smoking?
Steroids!
What are you smoking? Fucking jacked up piece of shit. We'll roast on the devil's pitchfork.
Everybody falls under the same umbrella because those are the only two concepts you can use in the debate that goes on out there. Oh, so there is a responsibility asleep. That you have. What's that like word? Who in here would like to take a crack at telling me?
What?
What they think the fundamental difference is. Hey, look, I'm good with it, man. You want to participate, but with me, there's a right and a wrong. You're entitled to your wrong opinion about things.
You know, I'm really surprised
like
that he didn't put the warrior mask on before this speech.
Today.
It would have been
simple.
Way more effective.
I'm a simple guy, man. I stick with the basics.
The difference between what?
Conservatism and liberalism, the fundamental idea.
There we go.
Well, liberals believe that the government that the people elect has a responsibility to take care of them, whereas conservatives just...
What country you live in?
What
country you live in?
Oh, I live in Warrior Sylvania.
Somebody else. No, that's not it. Thanks, though. That's not it.
Why is she wrong?
Well, because I'm looking for the right end. Because this isn't a socialist country. No, to entertain your question, you can raise it later. This is not a socialist country. Nothing subject to moral relativity is left out between these two extremes. That the bum is as legitimate as the businessman. That homosexual.
Oh, Jesus.
Homosexuality? Don't have an orgasm on me, honey. Let me come down off my politically correct horse.
What's it being politically correct?
He didn't call them faggots.
Queers are as legitimate. It's heterosexual?
How are they not?
That's the anarchist? Because queering doesn't make the world work.
Look at the reaction of laughter of
the joke that he thinks he's killing.
Queering does not make the world work, Hulk Hogan.
Faggotry does not produce babies or DNA.
When I fucked Hulk Hogan in the butt, there were no babies.
When I fucked Hulk Hogan, that was a display of male-on-male dominance and superiority. That had nothing to do with queering of any kind.
When Hulk Hogan stuck his 24-inch cock in my mouth and tisted it, that was not for procreation.
When Pat Patterson took me in the back and put his shriveled, wrinkled 67-year-old penis into my mouth, that was only so I could get a really good spot in WWF and beat Hulk Hogan.
Why do you think they called him the Macho Man? Because queering did not go far in WWF.
Just look at China.
So that was good.
What a fucking roast in fucking hell on Satan's penis right now. He should get ass fucked every if, and we all know there's no God and there's no hell and all that shit, but just if there was, he would be getting fucked 24/7, 10,000 times a day by 10,000 different penises. Everyone who's ever been in hell should be fucking the Ultimate Warrior right now in his ass.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Well, what's hell all about, right? It's supposed to be your payback for all the horrible things that you believe in. So, there you go. He should be queering right now. Forced queering.
Maybe, you know, here's something nobody really brought up. Maybe his daughters are better off than that now. <that he's>
No, I'm very upset that I am dead because I can no longer beat up my own daughters, which I did every day.
Well, that's not what I mean.
We don't know that.
Also, you know, he
don't
changed.
Have to listen to him anymore.
He changed his name to Warrior, which means his wife's name is Dana Warrior, and his daughter's name.
Take his name.
She took his name. No, that's a fact.
Oh my God.
His daughter's name is Madigan Twain Warrior, and Indiana Marin Warrior.
What? Say that again?
Madigan and Indiana Warrior.
That's what his daughters?
Yes.
Indiana. What the fuck are you doing?
That's where I first fucked Hulk Hogan in Indiana.
H-O-K, Darren. Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan.
Fucking lunatic.
All right. One of the all-time great entrance songs.
Yeah, he had nothing to do with it.
Definitely not.
I was a fan of his when I was a child before I knew any better.
I had a poster of his when I was a kid.
That was before he became a Fox News representative.
Oh, let me. I got the Sean Hannity clip, too. Let's...
And welcome back to Hannity and Combs. Critics are taking the WWE to task over Chris Benoit's tragedy. Some say steroid abuse is rampant at the organization, and everyone just turns a blind eye to this. Joining us now with an inside look at what really goes on behind the scenes at the WWE Wrestling, we have legend Warrior with us. Hey, Warrior, how are you?
I'm doing super, Sean. How you doing?
We're good. All right. Well,
super. You know, I really think that you were intimidated by my pure form of conservatism. That's why you were keeping me off the program.
Steel cage match. I'll take you on any place.
Oh, can you pause that? That's like the number one fucking stupid thing that people say whenever they're talking to a wrestler.
Yeah.
They're not really into wrestling. They always go, I want to fight you in a match one day.
I'll take you on any place, anytime, anywhere.
For the troops.
For the troops.
For the troops.
How long do I have to last to survive
to
get the money?
We outlasted you.
Exactly.
To the end.
Sean Hattie's still alive.
All right. Well, let me, in all seriousness here, I've talked to a lot of people now in the last number of days about wrestling. And apparently, most people behind the scenes are telling me it's a little known secret. Steroid use is fairly rampant. You willing to admit that?
It's a little-known secret?
Well, I mean, Benoit's physician just got indicted on charges for...
I didn't ask you that. Do you know of widespread steroid use in wrestling?
Oh, steroids are used throughout the industry all the way through. I mean, it's easier to say or point out the number of guys that aren't doing steroids than those that are. I mean, I don't have a stupid button on me that I can push to get stupid. And I can't... I can't not see what my eyes
All right, next
show
question.
Me when you did look at the talent. In
did you ever use steroids, and is there such a thing as roid rage?
What do you think?
But I've been open about it from the very beginning. I don't have
also,
to go
the thing
in
is, he hadn't been at this point in a WWE locker room
right.
in at least, like, 15 years. So, like, what
why
does he know?
Why did they get him to talk about Chris Benoit?
Why? Because he was available.
Yeah, cause, and because he's a nut.
And he's, yeah, because they knew they could corner him into their line of questioning, which he's clearly doing.
Something up or a lie that I told before. I've been open and I've been candid about it. But there's a difference between use and abuse. And different than the other crybaby former talent from professional wrestling or other professional sports, I don't have any whining and complaining to do. I'm
yeah,
not
that,
broken
not
down. I have a healthy...
If you're saying there's a difference between use and abuse, I would argue that any use is abuse if you don't need it for medical reasons.
Well, look, I think
good
that
point,
there are
Mr.
sacrifices
Hannity.
That profession... I think that there are sacrifices that professional athletes at that level will choose to make to succeed at the business that they participate in. And I don't think that people, when you talk about roid rage for me is a pie-in-the-sky theory that's thought up by people that have no business discussing the frame of
like
mind
doctors.
Of an elite
but,
physical
athlete.
But
that's not athlete. The point. Look, I understand your desire to be number
no,
one in
your
field.
No, the point
is
you're
field.
Trying to say overall
to
that
be...
taking steroids is bad, and I don't think it is.
You
don't
think it is.
Taking steroids.
This is not like
don't.
Loving this
okay,
right now.
What
and this
about,
is,
what
look,
about
I'm
for
all
some people?
This is two idiots.
Yeah.
At it.
Yeah. Personal freedom. I'm all for look, this is your program. You get to talk all the time, so give me a chance.
I'm giving you a chance.
I'm all for personal freedom.
Let me
I'm
talk.
Not a crusade to abolish steroids in professional wrestling or other professional sports. What I'm tired of is I'm tired of having my intelligence insulted, and I'm tired of having positive... The integrity of the mentoring assaulted all
but
the time.
But maybe you took it in a limited quantity. Maybe you did it with a doctor's supervision. Maybe
I
you
just
did,
told
maybe,
you there's a difference between use and abuse.
Hang on a second.
What part of that didn't you get?
Sean Hannity, let me talk.
Himself, his wife, and his children, and we're looking for answers. And if one of the questions
well,
that is being raised
back
is
up a
if
second,
steroid
because I'm not
use,
here to make excuses for this monster.
But if
I'm you're
why are
me like
you there?
No one knows.
All right, I'm over this. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
falling asleep.
We move on.
Fuck the warrior.
The ultimate warrior. Fuck the asking Alexandria. I ask Alexandria. They tell me warrior has grasshopper dick.
Speaking of grasshopper dick.
Yes?
Cheap Jew Russia.
Didn't something happen to you this week?
To my grasshopper dick?
No, with the guy from Amur.
Okay, yeah. So Amur have a new album coming out soon called... Eternal Enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I talked about this on the show, how there were two tracks on it called, like, one was that I thought I might be...
Is that album dedicated to you, Rob?
I don't think it's just dedicated to me. I think it's...
dedicated to
to all the haters. There was one song where I thought it was about me called Free Publicity, because I was like, oh, who could this be about? And I listened to it, and there was a voice sample in it. And I was like, is that me? That almost sounds like me. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it is. Whatever. And then I like kind of forgot about it and went out. And I'm analyzing a Muir. What am I doing?
Yeah,
let's move on. Then Ross, a longtime listener of ours, also runs American Afternet, Aftermath.net, a blog. He also got an advance of the album. And he IM'd me and was like, dude, you and Darren are sampled on Free Publicity. And then not only that, he found the episode of the live cast where we were sampled from, which was the episode, it was called Dudecast. I believe it was 220.
Mm-hmm.
Livecast 220 called Dudecast. And it was where I played back the interview that I did with Frankie.
Mm-hmm.
At Mayhem Fest last summer,
right?
And we were like talking about, Sid was implying like, oh, there's gonna be a fight right now, and and then we were like, oh, please, if there was a fight, I would like totally be like, I'm not at all intimidated by him,
right?
And then you
well, you're 8 feet taller
yeah,
than him.
Yeah, you're and much then, taller than him, right?
Yeah, and also I feel like I have at least 100 pounds on him. Yes, like, sure. I am not ashamed to say I'm 270 pounds.
He has a neck tattoo, though.
Yeah, right.
Okay. And then you said something along the lines of I would knock him out with one punch. So that they sampled.
You meaning you would?
Yeah, I would. Yeah. So let's play this right here. Let's get this going.
Do we have to listen to the whole song?
No, I could just. It's only like a 2-minute song.
The less you hear him, you're the better.
This is only called free publicity. I'm trying to hear like the other lyrics.
I'm sorry to our audience. We're doing this for research purposes.
Yes.
I apologize. Okay.
This is what a viewer sounds like.
Yeah. Face to face. I bet you won't.
Without him, you wouldn't have a block.
I'd have plenty of other people to write about.
Your life wouldn't mean shit.
Your hits would go down not even one fucking...
Like, not even 0.00001%.
By the way, this is like Slipknot mixed with the Cut Your Dick Off.
I think that's insulting to Slipknot.
It's not insulting. It's a non-talented person trying to emulate Slipknot. Not that they're bad. Go ahead.
So I think it's coming up in the next 20 seconds.
Do we get paid?
We don't. Here it comes.
One punch line guy.
I would
absolutely knock him the fuck out.
That was Darren.
Me.
So one punch to this guy is Darren, and then I would absolutely, and then you would knock him the fuck out.
Run that back again.
and then like the
so
next
they edited
lyric,
our voices.
And then the next lyric.
Hold on.
One punch to line guy.
I would absolutely.
Oh, it's Sid's in there too.
Oh, David versus Goliath.
I didn't hear Sid
at the very beginning. He's vaguely here.
And then the next line is, bring it. Give me your best shot. Give me your best shot. Give me your best shot. Bring it.
One guy. I would absolutely knock him the fuck out.
I love it.
You wouldn't even have to. You just like hit him with a rib.
Rob, I think he's challenging you.
He's challenging me to a match. A steel cage.
Do it. Just like Sean Hannity, it's a warrior. You should do it. I'm telling you.
Oh, my God.
Go do it for charity.
I have no interest. Like, what is this going to prove? Like, I have no interest
Nothing.
In
just humiliate him. Just humiliate him.
I think he is infatuated with you.
Here is, so the first passage? First
well, I don't know.
Stanza?
Verse.
Verse, thank you.
It's the Star-Spangled Banner, the first stanza.
It's becoming quite clear. I've dug myself a little deeper, it seems, and there's no way out unless I die.
Who's saying he's
just to get off the fucking back? Just to get you off the fucking back.
Is this a warrior promo?
Leave me alone. I'm only human.
Sounds better than the actual song.
I never said that we're perfect. I'm saying sorry, but it seems you only
Wait
care.
A minute.
Wait, so he's sorry?
What is that?
He's sorry to you?
Maybe it's because he gave you that interview.
Hold
he
on.
He thought you guys connected and worked through the issues.
Oh, it's like you went on a date with him, but you never called him.
Oh,
and then
I
you
see.
Went and
he
talked
the,
shit about
the interview went so well.
The interview went so well, and then he has to go online and hears all this
he
shit.
He hears me talking.
Yes.
Oh,
you played him, Rob.
Yeah.
You know what? I could totally see that now. But I feel like even I have to go listen back to what I said.
So this is like a butthurt live journal entry.
I feel like I was defending him. But I feel like when we talked about it, you guys were making fun of him. But I was like, no, well, what he's saying is
still happened on Metal Injection.
Right, right. So, so here we go. I'm saying sorry, but it seems you only care for my faults. So I'm taking it back. Now I don't give a fuck.
Wow, Rob.
You two-faced fucking coward. Why don't you say it to my face? Oh, oh. So you're right. He does feel like a date scorned.
Betrayed.
Yeah, you should definitely say it to his face, Rob.
I bet you
don't
won't.
Don't dump people like that remotely.
You're just lucky that I'm someone with so much to lose. Mm-hmm. I bet you won't. Now I know better than to talk to someone who's so weak and so spineless.
Rob, he opened up to you. He opened up his heart.
You really hurt him, Rob.
You cut deep. He might be a cutter now.
Oh, so the last lyrics of
you were a cutter once? No.
The last lyrics are, why don't you hate yourself? Why don't you hate yourself?
Why do you hate him and not yourself? That's what he's saying.
Yeah, he's saying,
don't hate me.
Why don't you hate yourself, not him?
I think he might be wearing all black now and white makeup and black eyeliner and cutting his arms.
The thing is, though, like, the song is called Free Publicity. Is he giving me free publicity? Am I giving him free publicity?
Well, in that interview...
I know what it is. Go ahead.
Okay, I think, because in that interview, he, like, when you started off and you're like, you know, this is a little bit awkward or whatever, he said something to that extent, like, well, you know, you hate me, but you always just give me free publicity.
Well, that's what he's saying. He's saying that you, like, you think you're so smart, you know, because you're shitting on him, but...
But you're only helping
you're
him
helping
out.
You're helping him out.
I acknowledge that.
Yeah,
you did.
It's
of course. Yeah.
And then, right, you were very agreeable with him, so he thought you guys had a connection.
Right.
But he's the only one that doesn't, like, that didn't get the whole scenario. Like, you're not out to, like, sit there and shit on him. You went and interviewed him.
Yeah.
Because people will go read the story.
Yeah.
It's not like you're out.
I thought it would be, it's like, oh, I've written about him so much, and I'm not going to lie, it gets hits.
Yeah.
So obviously I keep writing about it because it's controversial.
Right. And I also feel like you interviewing him was showing that you're not really, like, sitting
really
behind your
it.
Website. Like, you can talk to him in person.
Right.
You're not, like, afraid.
And I guess he's saying I'm a coward because the way I acted in person, I wasn't being
you were really nice.
Real with him.
Oh, okay.
The real. You're real. Not the real.
I'm spineless.
This is so silly. Like, what are you supposed to do? Walk up and fucking have a fist fight with him?
Yeah, like, that's not what I was saying on the show. It's like, oh, I'm not intimidated by it. I think, like, he just thought maybe...
He heard my isolated soundbite without hearing the context of it. Like,
right.
I was saying, you should go up and
well,
beat
the thing,
his ass.
Here's the thing that I think the awesome thing about the situation. I don't think he listens to
a lot of other than him writing a love song to you, how he's over
well,
you?
Well, that as well. Like, that's, to me, that's so wild that my writing has...
Your blog.
You made him write a song.
Yeah, like, it got him so angry.
He probably heard that and, like,
but beyond
paper.
That, like, the sequence of events, I imagine,
right,
is that, you know, we did the show. Someone who knows him listened to the show and was like, I can't believe these things that he's saying about Frankie.
Right.
Emails Frankie, texts Frankie, Facebook message, I don't know, gets to Frankie being like, you have to listen to this podcast. Maybe he gives him a timestamp. You start at whatever. Frankie from Emure downloaded an episode of the Metal Injection Livecast.
He gave you free publicity. He pumped up your advertising.
To hear us talk about him. And he was so upset, so offended. Or maybe he wasn't real. Like, I understand. Maybe he's just exaggerating his feelings for the song.
I don't know.
Like, maybe he's like, oh, that's like, he's not really like losing sleep over. He's like, this would make a good subject for a song.
I
haven't
seen that deep. I think he's very emotional about it.
So just the fact that he listened to me talk shit about him, quote unquote,
right,
is awesome to me. That's such a victory for me. That it's like, he's listening to my content. Like,
maybe free publicity. You're all over an album now.
You're right.
Yeah.
And so are you, Darren, and so is Sid.
I'm very excited to be on an Amur record. My first release ever is on
what
an
will
Amur.
You do next, Darren?
I hope you know how, like, you know, in the liner notes, they have thank yous?
Yeah.
I hope I'm in the liner notes.
Yeah, I hope they give...
Well,
yeah,
I hope
credit.
I'm in the fucking liner notes. We know you have
you're getting all the credit for your shit talking.
I didn't shit talk. I said
if you, like, first of all, you were saying you were supposed to be intimidated by him, and I'm like, why would you be intimidated?
Sid was implying that.
Yeah, meaning physically, you look like you could kick his ass. That doesn't mean you were going to go kick his ass or that you should go kick his ass. I just mean, like, if you two are standing together, there's no reason why you should have to look at it as you're scared of him.
Right.
Yeah. But he took it as, this motherfucker wants to fucking fight me.
Yeah.
I also feel
which
like...
I think it's like just, again, it could be for show.
I don't know.
But it's just like just the environment that he's in is like, oh, like with his ego, like nobody could step to me or whatever.
I also feel like people who actually are going to listen to this album and enjoy it and really look deep into it are going to want to know, like, what's that line from?
Yeah, this will be discussed in forums.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you don't know? This is about fucking
yeah,
Robert Fesbani.
It's in the lyrics.
Dude,
yeah, no,
you don't
no,
know?
They're going to investigate and find out where it's from, and it's only
yeah.
going to direct more
well,
down.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait for people to... Well, first of all, I'm going to write a post about this. Once the... like, I don't want to leak the song.
Right.
But once the once it's out...
I mean, didn't we just leak the song?
I'm going to... Oh, well...
This is fair
people
use.
People in the chat. People in the chat said that they've heard it already. So it had like it had to have unofficially.
Right, but he's not playing the whole song. He wants
right.
A
it's just
to the
there's
song.
No legal. Yeah, like there's no legal available copy of it yet.
Uh-huh.
Once there is, I'm gonna. Of course, I'm gonna bask in the free publicity that Imure is giving me, and then I in turn am returning the
right.
free publicity.
So then the relationship will continue.
Yeah, it's a love hate. It's
a, so
it was such
a
scorned relationship. Yeah, maybe we're just. It's complicated.
Yeah.
That would be our face.
That's your label. It's complicated.
Yeah, change your status. Change your relationship status with Frankie. What's his name?
I'm not friends with him on Facebook. I wonder if you could do that. But even still, I should just go for the friend request.
Yeah.
Mood.
It's really going to throw him off his game. Yeah.
Mood confused about Rob.
He's going to write another song about how you sent him a... friend request on Facebook.
How dare you? After all those things you said.
Exactly.
We gotta do that. Yeah.
Come on, Rob.
You gotta write a sad fucking.
I gotta do a response track. Who wants to be my backing band? My band is gonna be called Manure.
Oh, that's good.
Here. Ready?
Yeah. Frankie Palmieri, it's all a big misunderstanding. I never said those things. I was all daring.
Hey,
I never meant that you should fight Frankie, what's his name? Because I just meant you're 7 feet tall. And he's like 5'6".
How tall is he, for real?
I'm not sure.
Let's see if it's in about section.
Frankie Palmieri, please don't be rubber.
Rob, his relationship status is single.
It was engaged to Rob 2 days ago.
His height information is not available, but he's not at all. He's like 5'7".
He's not at all very tall at all. And when Rob dumped him, he did not have a ball.
I have chocolate croissant writes, Rob is famously tone deaf. It's true.
I'm sorry, Frankie. It works.
I never meant to hurt your feelings.
First of all, listen, you're competing with an Amir song.
Yeah.
You're...
I'm sorry. I can't even do that scream that he does. That, like, high pitch.
Wait, let's... you just need to, like, defend yourself and you'll get it.
One punchline, guys.
I would absolutely...
Knock him the fuck out.
Spoiler!
Okay.
You
I don't
already
want to give you
punched
my best
him,
shot.
Rob. You punched him with your blog, and now he's
right.
It's worse than anything you could do with your fists.
Oh my God! Thank you, Frankie.
Don't
I
you realize
it.
How deeply you scarred him?
I feel like that dorky kid that got sampled in that Veil of Maya song.
Yeah.
Because with the Veil of Maya thing, what happened there is there was some a kid on YouTube who wrote a review. I think he was critiquing Periphery, actually, saying like, oh, all they are is this. And he mouths this riff, and then the band actually does that riff that he is.
Nice.
Here, let me. Yeah. Somewhere in here.
Just brown
now, brand
down.
We need
a
winner,
need
a
winner.
Good riff.
Yeah, nice.
That's all they have, though.
I like Vale of Maya.
By the way, Rob, do you have FOSP? So you're Frankie Palmieri?
that's the episode title.
FOSP. Don't explain it.
Yeah,
just say FOSP.
FOSP. I think Frankie has FARP.
Are you going to go see him?
Robert Posbody.
That's right.
FORP. Not FARP.
Oh, FORP.
You
right.
have FARP. So food
you just
today.
FARPed.
FARP.
Oh, Frankie. They're playing Mayhem Fest. So I feel like
farping.
I'll see him this summer, maybe.
Are you going to seek him out, or are you going to go, like, by the...
What will you
Should
wear?
I do a follow-up interview? Should I schedule
Definitely.
Something? And talk about free publicity, and then I'll just... We'll discuss it, and then maybe he'll... Maybe. Imagine
How
if, like, while the cameras were there, he steps to me.
No,
oh,
or...
please, I hope so.
Or if he admits to you that he's been listening religiously to the live cast.
Like, dude, honestly, honestly, though, I love the show.
Can I
get
be
him
a guest?
Get him to hit you. First.
Or maybe we should do a call-in. Maybe I should be from a...
Or
even, yeah, like, that's what I look at is, like, if he... Well, he says in the song he wouldn't, because...
He says, bring it, meaning you have to throw the first
punch. Right.
He's, like, shouting it.
He's got... He goes, you're just lucky that I'm someone with so much to lose, because if he... If he hits me, he would look bad, and
right,
theoretically, I could sue him.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Or not write about him, and then nobody would know who the fuck he is.
He has full fear of a lawsuit. Well, come on. How much does Immure have that he can get sued?
They're a successful band.
They're a successful
band. But
they're
on Victory, so that's questionable how much they're actually...
Yeah.
No. They re-sign.
Come on. But it's all relative. That's not like... They're not fucking, you know...
Well, they're full-time musicians. So
right.
I'll say that. They don't have day jobs.
Right.
Have
I'm not
job.
Saying he's broke, but I'm saying, first of all... They don't have that much money, and he has to split it with band members, too. So it's not like...
Those poor band members.
Yeah. They're in a Muir. Poor guys. No, come on. That's ridiculous.
They're probably very nice people.
Sure.
Yeah. Actually, I briefly met the guitarist, Jesse, and he was...
Nice guy.
Especially after all the things I've written about a Muir... Way nice.
Well, that doesn't mean that you dislike him as a person.
Right.
Rob,
and I think that's what I respect about him. And I feel Frankie as well. They separated the controversy, whatever, from real life. What were you saying?
After this episode, that guy Jesse is fired from the band. Frankie got rid of him.
For being nice.
He's like the main riff writer.
That's like when the girl is still friends with the girl's ex-boyfriend. And the girl doesn't talk to her anymore because she's angry that they're still friends. Because you're supposed to be on her side?
Yeah.
That's what that is.
One punchline, guys. I would absolutely knock him the fuck out.
I gotta say, I have a very nice voice.
Yeah.
It goes with the music.
Yeah, they did a great job with the sample.
Thank you. Thank you, Amur. I do not want to challenge you to a fight, because you did a great job there. Great
Good
mixing.
Stuff. All right, we got a caller. I don't recognize this area code. 956. We're on the live cast.
Frankie Palmieri.
956.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah.
What's up?
What's up?
What's your name?
It's Kenny.
What's up, Kenny? Where are you from?
From far.
From far. All right. Are you
Florida,
in a
Florida? Florida.
Well, it's far.
I thought he said far.
I've called him before.
He's the guy that works at the nuclear plant or whatever.
Wow, you're good.
Yeah.
So are you an Immure fan? Are you on Team
Crying? I actually got a story about those fucking pussies.
Oh, okay. Let's hear it.
Okay.
Yeah, well, this was like fucking years back when I was like 17. I went to a concert, and they were headlining. I didn't even know who the fuck they were. And the fucking concert got raided by a bunch of cops and shit. And when we were there, all tight hanging out by the merch, my friend was like, man, fuck these fucking punk-ass bitches, all this shit. He turns around. Two of the members are right behind him. He turns around. He's like, oh, shit. And he turns back around. He just told me those are the guys from here. And I was like, for real? The fuck? So he pretty much just talked shit in front of their face and they didn't fucking do anything about it.
Well, yeah, why would they do anything about it? They don't care. They're still getting paid.
You paid to go see them even though you didn't want to.
Like, yeah, even though you don't want to see them, they're getting your ticket money.
They won.
Yeah, fucking cheap ass too. Like $5 to get in.
Well, three of those dollars
go
in those two guys' pockets.
Yeah, let's say, why don't you fucking, let's say, Zoom some shit, man? Try to get some money out of it. You're using your voice.
That did cross my mind how funny it would be to delay the record, because I never agreed. Because they're using our copyrighted content.
But you're being as petty as he is, though.
Right, and also I realized, like, well, I'd have to hire a lawyer.
Yeah.
And that would cost, like, it's not worth the money to me for the free publicity.
Right.
But it's funny because you can tell it bothers him because of how long has it been since you did that interview?
Yeah, it was like a year.
Well, it takes a while to make an album.
Yeah, like he could have written it.
And it took a long time to write that.
He's probably there and he's writing his journal. Oh, I'm going to totally write up on Rob. You know, she's like a little bitch.
My journal.
His Zanga.
I wonder if he called anybody Googleicious.
But
it's like Rob is not Boobalicious.
But at the same time, he could have removed it from the album if he calmed down over that time also. Like, what was I thinking, you know?
Yeah, and he could have just thought it would have gotten extra publicity, and he was just doing it for a...
So that you would be forced to write an article about his album?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
As if...
who won this round then, really? If you post about it.
Well,
I'm Rob Ron.
Flattered, so I win. I feel like I win because it's like the intent of it does not come. Like, I'm not intimidated or like threatened by this song. I think it's awesome. I think it's so cool. Yeah.
That's just fun. It is funny though.
It's such an ego boost to think that like. Something I did affected him so much that he wrote a song about it. And just like you guys mentioned how...
And something I did.
Yeah, he feels like a scorned
like
lover.
The wrong way.
He was fine with the blog article until I said you can kick his ass. I think that's what really...
Bring it.
Do you think you can kick his ass, really?
Sure, yeah. I don't think it's... The thing is, it's like I haven't been in a fight in...
Right. Don't let him know your weakness, Rob.
I don't...
It doesn't matter. That's what I'm saying.
The thing is, it's just
such
like,
a height and weight advantage that it doesn't matter. He's like a peanut.
I guess all you'd have to do is just extend your hand forward and hold his forehead and...
You think he's like...
Tire him out.
He's swinging. Yeah. He can't hit you. Do you think he's like training judo now just because of this whole episode?
Like that Rocky
montage.
I'm going
to kick his ass. No. I'm going to get him. He's going to stay.
I would hope he's not. Losing sleep over this. Hopefully he got it all out with the song. He let it all out on the tape.
We are talking about MUR though.
Yeah.
Let's take 814. You're on the live cast.
More callers. Yeah.
814. 814. We hear you. Listen to the phone, not the radio. Yeah, hey, what's your name? Where are you from?
Oh, we're is this Metal Injection?
Yes.
Did we miss the Phil Bozeman interview?
No, he's right here.
Is he really?
Yeah. You want to say hello?
Say hello to him.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, I do. How's it going, Phil?
Not bad.
We're wondering if you guys are going to be coming to Erie anytime soon.
No,
or
probably.
Near here.
Near there, yeah. You have a car?
Huh?
Do you have a car?
A car?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have Google?
Yeah, I have Google.
Well, why don't you just Google Whitechapel tour dates near Erie?
I could do that. Drive.
I want to ask you a Whitechapel trivia question. How many singers are in Whitechapel?
No singers, because Phil Bozeman screams.
How many screamers are there in Whitechapel?
I'm pretty sure Phil's the only screamer.
So how many would that be?
Sorry, I pulled the trigger too soon.
Okay, it's all right. Thank you for calling. That wasn't really Phil Bosman. It was just me. I'm sorry.
I was just going to try. I was going to say that you should have said, no, we're never. I was going to say, right before that guy called in, you were just discussing with us off the air how he's never, ever going to Erie. In his life, it's the one town he's never going to. He vows never to show up there.
Fair enough.
I just want to say about that goodbye trigger finger that I just had. I just thought he wasn't going to say it, so I just said, fuck it.
Yeah, yeah.
And let's hang up. And then he said it 1 second later.
That's okay.
I'm sorry, audience. I let you down.
It all worked out.
Okay.
Well, this was an incredible edition of the Metal Injection Live.
My voice hurts from the warrior voice.
definitely. We've laughed. We've cried. We've laughed some more. We'll be back next week with another new episode. I have some special guests. Trying to work them out. We'll definitely have somebody. Sid will be back. It'll be a fun show. Thank you for listening, everybody.
He was a little child. He could have grown up to be the best doctor or a lawyer, or he could have ran the best Kanishkan in all of Borough Park. It would have been so good. The mustard would have been so spicy. I want a Kanish now. Oh, this murderer ruined this child. He can't be a Jew. Puh, puh, puh. I'm sure they heard. They know he stabbed a Jew.
Down the Jew.
Yarmulkes made of skin, gonna be a death row, yeah.